Chris, great to have you on the program again, former NBL and NBA star. And it is exciting. Welcome to you. What a night we've got coming.
Absolutely. You're right. It's exciting for a lot of reasons. That, you know, A, we can turn up and go to the basketball again. And B, there are going to be more and more eyes on our National Basketball League from all around the world than ever before. It's just, basketball's taken off again, and there's so much coverage in the newspapers, it's on the radio, it's on the televisions, and it's just a really exciting time for our sport.
So we do have international stars from the Philippines, from China. We've virtually got players, and the Next Star program's been an absolute ripper, Chris, hasn't it? We've brought in these young stars, and it's also providing so many players to the NBA, which we've talked about before, guys like Josh Giddey heading over there doing amazing things at the moment. In fact, he was, I think, named Rookie of the Month in the West just the last 24 hours. So, yeah, you mentioned eyes of the world. There are a lot of countries now looking at the NBL because that's where their best players are coming to play.
Yeah, you're right. And look, there are a few things with the Next Stars program. And you're right, Josh Giddey's just been incredible. LaMelo Ball, you know, he's getting better and better and is one of the best of his draft class. And, yeah, the tough part is for NBL clubs who bring in high-profile Next Stars who are yet to be drafted. The ongoing conversation around their minutes and their role from their agents continues. And even if you look at RJ Hampton, who was undrafted with a high profile, teams who draft the highest of profile Next Stars don't do well. They just don't make finals. So it's a bit of a catch-22 because clubs want eyes on their own team. But at the same time, if you want to be successful and put, you know, winning championships as a priority, you know, you might be better off getting a Next Star who, you know, might fall to the second round or, in fact, has already been drafted like the Kings have done in the past. So it's a really, really interesting time because clubs have to sort their priorities out. You know, is it winning a championship or is it getting a high-profile Next Star, getting some money added to the cap and getting more eyes on their club?
Yeah, big question. The other question I suppose I'll throw at you is the Jack Jumpers kicking off the season against the Bullets. And I had a chat to Scott Roth on the program yesterday. I'll play you, if you don't mind sticking around for a couple of minutes, let me play you a little bit of Scott Roth talking defence. And it seems as if the defence mindset is what he's going to go with. Even though he kind of admitted that they're in the entertainment business and they want to be entertaining too. Here's Scott Roth on what we might expect tonight from the Jack Jumpers in their debut performance in the NBL.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, at the end of the day how explosive we will be offensively. We've been trying to definitely build a defensive team first, and the mantra of that's the only way you're actually going to win championships. There's obviously an anomaly every now and then that jumps into the top four, but we're basing everything on just being really competitive defensively. The thing I really love about the group just in general is they're very feisty, very gritty. We got a couple guys, I think, that are very much in the underdog mode and have a lot to prove. And, you know, we have a big center there that's coming back, Will Magne, who's going to be very impactful as he's coming off his injury. And so there's some exciting players to watch, and it should be fun. Yeah, I don't know, you know, at the end of the day how explosive we will be offensively. We've been trying to definitely build a defensive team first, and the mantra of that's the only way you're actually going to win championships. There's obviously an anomaly every now and then that jumps into the top four, but we're basing everything on just being really competitive defensively. The thing I really love about the group just in general is they're very feisty, very gritty. We got a couple guys, I think, that are very much in the underdog mode and have a lot to prove. And, you know, we have a big center there that's coming back, Will Magne, who's going to be very impactful as he's coming off his injury. And so there's some exciting players to watch, and it should be fun.
You also, the way you whip up the enthusiasm, I know you're talking about defense, and yeah, I get it. Every coach wants to do that, and every coach talks about doing that, and it does win championships in multiple sports around the world. So what you're saying is not wrong. It's just that we do like a little bit of scoring here in Australia, as you well know, Scott. So we are hoping to see a bit of sort of liveliness from you guys. And I think you've got a couple of guys that can give liveliness to the point that the fans are going to get up out of their seats early.
Yeah, I mean, I listen, I hope so. I mean, I hope we find the right balance there. You know, I wouldn't say that Perth over the X amount of years has been one of the highest scoring teams, but they win championships because they play defense. So I think it's just you find the right blend. And for me, it all starts on the defensive end and building a foundation there that can sustain the season, and you can always fall back on it. And your offense is going to come and go as the season goes on. And there's a tremendous amount of talent in the league across the board. And there's going to be a lot of teams that will be scoring quite a bit of points. And I don't think that's the pathway for us to win games, is to try to outscore some of these teams that really have a lot of depth and a lot of talent.
Chris, what do you make of that? So the good teams are going to score. Outscoring them is probably not the avenue. You've coached a lot of teams over time. Chris, it's a delicate balance that he's going to play with, Scott Roth, given that they're a new franchise and it is the entertainment business he's in.
Yeah, look, I've always believed that you can teach an offensive player to play defense. You can't teach a defensive player to play offense as easily. And he mentioned Perth not being one of the highest scoring teams in his time there. They've still got Bryce Cotton. Any time they wanted a bucket, they put the ball in Bryce Cotton's hands and said, go. And he dug them out of a lot of holes. That's one thing Tassie doesn't have. I'm not sure, as he mentioned, they have that offensive firepower. But for me, yeah, you have to be solid defensively. But at some level as well, as this season starts, we'll find out how the referees are going to call the game. And teams will adjust. But at the same time, I think the teams that are going to be really, really successful this year are the ones that, you know, when an offense does break down or we're late in the shot clock, you can put the ball into a guard's hands or a scorer's hands and say go, and be able to create some baskets that perhaps Tasmania, with the players they've brought in, might struggle to do, as Scott Roth has said. So, you know, every team's going to be a little bit different, but you know what, I still think it's changed a little bit. I grew up with that mindset that defense wins championships, but at some level, I think in those really, really big games, you've got to be able to put the ball in the basket and be solid defensively.
So who do you like, given that you think that that might be the modus operandi of the best teams? Who do you like most after what you saw in the Blitz?
Well, you talk about blend. You know, Brian Gordon's brought in a lot of offensive talent to Illawarra, and we get to see Tyler Harvey play in the two spot for the first time on Australian shores, which I think will be a lot of fun to watch. And I think Duop Reith is something that is very unique for this league in his skill set from that four spot. I'm fascinated to see Sydney's imports, as they come with very high wraps, and I haven't seen them firsthand, so I'll reserve my opinion. But they are actually starting this season as title favourites, which is interesting. And look, of course, we need to talk about the Melbourne teams, and the Phoenix have put together the most balanced team they've had in their history. And you know, every year Simon Mitchell and his coaching staff do this, they get better. So they're going to be fascinating. United, for me, are the really, really interesting one, because they are one of the, if not the oldest teams in the league, which means a couple of things. They make great choices, and their IQ's off the charts. You know, bringing Matthew Dellavedova in and even bringing Brad Newley down from Sydney, their IQ's off the charts. But, you know, there's a lot of speed and athleticism, and as we said, scoring punch in the league. I'm fascinated to see who their priorities are. You know, Chris Golding's on the other side of 30 now as well. And in my mind, United have always gone as well as what he's gone. So it's a real watch this space with United. And I'm fascinated to see how they start their season up in Sydney this weekend as well.
So you think there might be a shift in momentum? We saw South East Melbourne beat United. Okay, it was only the Blitz, but we did see them beat United. And yeah, they do have a mix. They've got Brokoff and Mitch Creek, who everybody knows a lot about. Brokoff had a down season last year, but boy, did he hit some form in the Blitz, which means that his old NBA form might be about to carry through to this NBL season. We're not going to see Devin Thomas for another week, but they've added a couple of new guys as well, as Xavier Munford, who's got, 18 NBA games to his name. Well, was 18 with Memphis, 6 with the Bucks. And Joe Chi as well, who we hope to see, who is the biggest thing out of China. So they might end up being the team to beat.
They'll be one of them. And, you know, if I had to pick a team out of Melbourne that may end up finishing higher, I'd probably lean towards the Phoenix preseason. And, you know, that could change in about 3 weeks' time. But no, I do. I like the balance. I like the scoring punch. You mentioned Ryan Brokoff. We just didn't see the best version of him when he came back from the NBA. He'd been injured. He'd been buried at the end of the bench. And, he's such an unselfish player. It just seemed as though a lot of times he wanted to blend in when the club wanted him and the fans wanted him to stand out. But already it just looks like his mindset's a little bit more aggressive, even in the preseason. So I look forward to seeing what Ryan Brockhoff does. And by default, that opens Mitch Creek up even more. It allows their imports a lot more space to operate and score in. And you mentioned Yo Chi. I'm fascinated with him as well. There are just so many unknowns coming into this season. But once you're 7'2" and by the rim, if you put a shooter like Ryan Brockhoff in the corner, you can't really leave and go and trap. So I just think they've got a nice blend and it'll be hard to beat. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And you mentioned Zo Chi. He's got to change some shots. He's got to cause some mayhem. And as you mentioned, the blend could be the perfect blend for the Phoenix. Hey, before I let you go, Chris, and we could talk about the NBL all day because I'm looking forward to it as well. In fact, I'm broadcasting Southeast Melbourne and New Zealand tomorrow night, so I'll get a first-hand look at Southeast Melbourne. But in the NBA today, I was talking about one of the results, and OKC was handed a lesson. I'm not sure if you saw any of the OKC game, but... Well, tell me how Memphis 152, OKC 79.
Yeah, well, I'd love for it to be as simple as OKC really, really missed Josh Giddey. And he didn't play, which does at right. some level indicate his importance. But look, they miss Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well. He's in concussion protocol, and they are a very young team. It seems to me they went into that game almost defeated before they started, and it just got away from them. So I think it sort of reflects the type of game a lot of experts thought they might see a little bit more regularly coming into this season. And, just let's put our Australian biased glasses on for a little bit. Josh Giddey is really becoming a legitimate NBA player. He won Rookie of the Month in the Western Conference last month. He's missed the last two games, which they've lost. He's been sick. They need him back. And already at just 19 years old, he's really, really impacting NBA games, which is just a credit to him.
And Patty Mills as well. So you go to the other end of the spectrum in terms of experience. And Patty Mills being added to the Brooklyn Nets. I know there's this big Kyrie Irving question mark as to whether he comes back or not. But it is amazing to think that we've got so many. We should talk about Joe Ingles more. It is amazing how many Aussies are doing big things in the US, not just, making up the roster on the bench.
Yeah, it really is. It's just such a great era of basketball globally for Australian basketball. Paddy has absolutely carried his form from the Olympic Games into the NBA and has been as aggressive a scorer, I think, as we've ever seen him in the NBA. And some of that may be system-based with the Brooklyn Nets. Some of that may be the fact that he's got Kevin Durant and James Harden alongside him who take a lot of defensive attention on the scout. But either way, when you're shooting the ball, a lot from behind the three-point line and knocking down half of them, you're going really, really well. And there's a really, really big part of me that would love for Patty Mills to have a 12 months that started with an Olympic medal and ends with an NBA championship. So that, he's the type of guy that deserves that. And just like Josh Giddey, I make sure I watch every single one of their games if I can. But those two in particular, and you mentioned Joe Ingles, he just continues doing what he does. He does so well, we just expect it. But now Australia is very, very well represented in the NBA with those three and the other guys.
And we can't do an interview these days without a Ben Simmons question. So have you got the latest?
No, I don't. I don't know. I left it alone a long time ago, and when something happens, it'll happen. But there are too many positive stories going on to probably spend too much time on that one, I think.
So who do you enjoy watching most? Is it Steph Curry sort of changing the way basketball is being played at Golden State? Is it the Suns with Booker and Chris Paul and co? Who do you like watching the most when you tune in, given that you've always got a choice of about seven games every day?
You do. I do like Steph Curry. I mean, and there are a couple of reasons. It's not just the statistics, but if as a coach and somebody who still spends a little bit of time around young players, his ability or his willingness to be in constant motion, working off screens with or without the ball, just really, really good. It doesn't just stand in a corner. and he makes himself really, really hard to guard. But on the other, on the flip side of that, he's someone that so many young players can relate to a lot more easily than someone like a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant, you know, 6 foot ten, 7 foot power athletes who, you know, very, very different to what's considered inverted commas normal. But Steph Curry would walk through a crowd and be the same height. You know, his work rate is off the charts. He's revolutionized the game of basketball, and he's stretched defenses further than they've ever been stretched before. And, you know, for those reasons and probably a lot more, the fact he's so humble. And, you know, I've got a young daughter who's been playing basketball for a long time, and Steph Curry and his brand on top of all that do a lot to women's basketball and women's sports. So there are probably a lot of reasons that Steph Curry's really, really high up on my watch list when I choose from all of those games that you mentioned.
And I think it was a false positive for LeBron, was it? So he's okay to play tomorrow?
You know you're going all right, don't you, when you read an article saying he's entered COVID protocols, he's been tested 10 or 12 times in a couple of days, and yeah, they're doing everything they can. So they've called it a false positive. A false positive. I believe he'll be back. They need him. They're not going great, the Lakers. They're a little bit, like we mentioned with United, they're a little bit older. They're very experienced. And, you know, when they get to the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs, which I'm sure they'll find a way to do, yeah, they'll be hard to beat. But, you know, over the course of a regular season with games missed and injuries and not quite the defensive intent that some of those younger teams had, yeah, they're battling. They've been a fascinating one this season as well. And I probably where some of the people who follow basketball closely expect, I don't think Russell Westbrook was the answer for them.
Yeah, there's one that probably needs another 4 or 5 minutes to explore it. But before I let you go, just a quick one. There's a lot of people who don't necessarily love LeBron James, and I get it. Can be a bit divisive. Do you think, we always mentioned LeBron as being the guy who, if anybody is going to be named better than Jordan at some stage, it might be LeBron. Is there a chance that it'll be Steph Curry? Is Steph Curry a chance to go past LeBron and be the guy at Jordan's heels that people talk about in 10 years' time?
Look, it depends who you ask. I don't think that's going to happen. I think LeBron, in most people's minds, in the way he's been able to dominate physically for so long, yeah, enters that conversation. But, you know what? I really loved it. Most people would have heard of Bill Simmons, and, he has his own podcast. He has a way where he always has a rolling top 10. And I like that because, you know, Michael Jordan's not around anymore playing basketball.
Yeah.
I just love watching LeBron James, Steph Curry, and some of the other greats while we still can, without the need to put one above the other, because, you know, you can lock down skill sets. What Steph's best at, what LeBron's best at, what Michael Jordan was best at, what Dr. J was best at. There are so many conversations to have when you've got a lot of time. But for me, I'm appreciative of how great they all are. And, you know, I'll go back to what I said right at the start. Basketball's in a wonderful spot. And, you know, the people carrying it are doing a great job.
Great to have you, Chris. Always great to be able to have a chat to you about the world of basketball. And we can't wait. Tonight, doubleheader. NBL season tips off tonight. And it's right across the weekend, tomorrow night, Sunday night, or triple header on Sunday as well. So check out ESPN or KO or 10 Peach. We'll talk soon.
Good on you, Dwayne.